Thank you, Miss Rachel. Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day to be at church. It's a sad day, but a great day. You might have heard that my mother passed away. I'd asked for prayers for her for a while, and she went home yesterday. She'd been longing to go home for a while, and she would have wanted nothing more. And so out of respect for her, that's why I'm here today, just to try to go on and serve the Lord. That's all I can do. Join us in singing. If you would, turn to number 220. If you're visiting, I appreciate your presence, and the church does too. Please take part in the service, and let's lift up the Lord today. I'll meet you in the morning, 220.
Thank you.
Y'all have never sung better. Let's try 115. 115.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Appreciate Brother Sam being here today. As he said earlier, it's a hard day for him in the passing of his mother, but he said she would want him to be here, and I'm thankful for that. Many times we all mourn differently, I guess is the best way to say it. My mother and daddy, when my brother passed, they didn't get back in church real quick. But me, when they passed Sunday, I was in church. Brother Sam's back in church. And different people mourn different ways, but best thing to do is to give credit where credit is due. When parents have led you in the right way, that's one of the best things you can do is honor them by being in the house of the Lord, I think. And so it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I appreciate everyone being here. I will acknowledge one thing. As Brother Tim walked through the door, I said, "There's the new granddad." If you didn't hear, Brother Tim Vantrese has got a new grandson, right? And I don't think he's recovered yet from what he has said, and he's just starting to find out recovery. but he'll enjoy the little feller, and when he messaged me the other night to tell me about him, I told him I was going to start praying. Well, I'd already started praying for his soul, that he'd be saved. And That's one of the primary things that we can do is try to lead our children, our grandchildren to the Lord. And I'm just thankful that we have that privilege. I've been praying for these other little ones that are around here and some of our bigger ones that are not saved yet. I want you to know I'm still praying for you too. And I'm praying that the Lord will show you just how quick that you can leave this world and that you can get saved. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you a prayer request. Our daughter Christy and her family was in an accident this morning. And they're okay. They're shook up and sore already, from my understanding. But the biggest thing is Hope is not saved. She's been seeking the Lord, but we're praying that this will open up her eyes, that she will really start seeking the Lord now and get earnest with Him and get that job done. And she don't need to put that off, is the best way to say it. And I'm the same way for each and every one of these that's lost. I want them to understand death can come quickly. And when you at least expect it, even. So it's not always a diagnosis of cancer or heart, and somebody suffers a long time and then finally passes. Death sneaks up on a lot of people. Actually, I think the majority of people it sneaks up on. So keep that in mind today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. We're going to get on with our service today. We're going to do children's church right over here today. Come on over here. Come on. Come this way. Come on, Luke. You want to sit with me or you want to sit with Cohen? You want to sit with me. Okay, I like it. Okay, I had in mind what I was going to do for Children's Church today, but then Brother Stewart told or read a little story in our Sunday school class. Since you were not in our Sunday school class, I'm going to pass a little story on the best I can. Now, I may not get it all exactly right, but the story was a little girl... Excuse me. A little girl was talking to her mama after church. And she said in her Sunday school class, she said, "Mama, the Sunday school teacher said God is very big. Is that true?" The little girl and the mother said, "Yeah, that's true. God is very big." She said, "Well, she also said that God lives in us. Is that true?" She said, "Yes, that is true." She said, "Don't you think He would show?" Now, the idea was, our lesson today was about letting your light shine. How many of you know the little song, "Let Your Little Light Shine"? Y'all know that song? Y'all remember that? They used to have you sing that. I wish y'all would sing for me some more. I hadn't had y'all sing for me in a while, and y'all do such a great job. But you know what that does? That's you letting your light shine in this singing. You see, when you get up here and you sing about Jesus, you're letting your light shine is what you're doing. And what the Bible tells us to do is let us do all things for His honor and for His glory. It's not about us. It's all about Him. So when we stand and we sing or we testify or we talk to somebody about the Lord, we're letting our light shine. Okay, one of the things that was brought out in our Sunday school is a lot of times just our appearance is a way of letting our light shine. So I'm going to say this. Sometimes the way you smile or the way you act to somebody is the way you let your light shine. When you show the love of Jesus to people, maybe it's somebody that's not hardly as, we'll say, a close friend, but when you're nice to them, but when you're doing things to help them, you're letting your light shine. You might not think it's very much, but sometimes you open the door for somebody and you let them go before you. Well, they may not see Jesus in that right then, but they'll say, boy, that sure was a nice young man and a nice young girl that done that. There must be something special about them that they did these things. You see, for me, it's a privilege for me to let Luke sit right here. I like that. I remember when Cohen wanted to do that. Now he's got too big for me. But the thing about it is, let your light shine. Okay, I'll let you go. You want to go back? Thank you, Brother Stewart, for the thought today. Maybe next week I will use the one that I had intended for today. So it's good to see each and every one back with us today. I hope you've had a blessed week. Hope you've been able to enjoy the beautiful day that we have in front of us today. We do have a beautiful day, don't we? I told Josh on the way down this morning, I said, boy, the sun is shining bright today, isn't it? Well, that's the way God's shining, isn't it? He's shining bright. And let's be the moon for that to shine back to the world, to each and every one that's here today. Anybody got a prayer request on your heart before we go any further in the service? As we said, we want you to pray especially for the lost. There is those that made mention of prayer request in our service today. Some of our members are traveling this week and with spring break, and it's just that time of year when people are starting to travel. Let's pray for our people that they will be blessed with safety, that nobody will run over them. You can understand where I'm coming from that. But let's be prayerful one for another today. Anybody got a prayer request on your heart? If nothing else today, you pray for me. All right. Let's do remember Sister Jenna's neighbor that fell. Let's pray that the Lord will heal them is what we'll hope to do. Somebody else got a prayer request? Yeah, there was a student up at Macon Christian. He was the one I told you about not too long ago that just got saved, I think maybe 3 months ago. But his mother passed away suddenly yesterday. So do remember this family. He's got, I think, several brothers and sisters. So do remember this family. Somebody else. It's good to be in the house, Lord. Go ahead, Liz. Yes, we do want to pray for Brother Sam and his family. Yes, ma'am. Let's do remember that. Somebody else. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and we ask you to pray. Pray in your own way, as I say. Every time, just pray. Whether you pray quietly or pray out loud, it doesn't matter as long as you pray. I'll ask you to pray for me also. If no other prayer request, Brother Timothy, would you lead us in prayer, please? Everybody pray.
Thank you. Continue our song service. Let's try number 285, one we hadn't done in a while, as far as I know. 285. That's a beautiful little song. All right. One with a little bit more upbeat to it, not much, but one that has a great meaning to it. Number 226, an Albert Brumley song. I can hear them singing over there. God bless you. All right, we'll do one more number. Number 65. number 65. Bless you.
Thank you all for the good singing this morning. A lot of good songs this morning. And starting out, I'll meet you in the morning. That's always one of my favorites myself. I like to think about getting over there myself. And I just loved all the songs this morning. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning before we go any further in the service? Let's always follow the Lord. And if the Lord's impressing, He's got a reason. And I ask that you follow the Lord today in this service. If nothing to be said, turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans this morning. Is where we're going to take our reading lesson from and start our message from, I think. We want to follow the Lord, so I ask that you pray for me today, that I'll say what the Lord would have me to say today in this service. I've kind of wondered lately, back for probably more than a month, it seemed like most of my sermons were going straight to the lost and was concerning them and warning them. But that now it seems like it's kind of moved a little bit different, more for the church itself. I realize, though, that a body of people needs to be fed too, don't they? And you can't just feed those that are unsaved what they need to hear, but we want to follow the Lord and we'll try to feed the church a little bit today in this service. In the 12th chapter of Romans, in the first verse, he makes a statement about a reasonable service, is what he talks about in verse 1. And then in verse 2, he starts talking about being a good and acceptable that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and perfect will of God, is what he says in verse 2. Now, getting into our reading lesson in verse 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," and that means seriously is what that means, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith." That's our reading lesson this morning, coming from the 12th chapter of Romans, verses 3 through 6 is our reading lesson today. I think it is important for us to keep in mind what a good sacrifice is for us. I realize most of the time when we think about sacrifices, we go back in our minds to the times of Moses and in the Old Testament, where that they gave a sacrifice, either of a lamb or a bullock or something, or a goat or something like that, even a dove was considered to be a sacrifice. But after the death of Christ, we no longer had to do that kind of sacrifices. But there are sacrifices that we have to make as children of God. It may be the sacrifice of a little bit of sleep on Sunday morning. Maybe you're an early riser and that's not part of your sacrifice. But to come out to the house of the Lord, that is a sacrifice that you give. Now, I will say, when he said your reasonable sacrifice, that is the very bare minimum of what God expects of us. Did you get that? A reasonable sacrifice is the bare minimum of what that God expects of us. The rest of it is offerings unto him. Now, and let's go monetary, and this message is not going to be about monetary, but maybe it's a way of people understanding a little bit better about this sacrifice. The sacrifice that we make, if you believe in giving tithes, like the Bible teaches that you should, if you believe in giving that tithe, and you give that 10%, that's what God requires. That's a reasonable sacrifice. But if you give over and above that tithe, that is an offering. And the Bible talks about both of them. But the idea of us, as far as a sacrifice is concerned, that is us being what God would have us to be. This starting out is going to sound a lot like our Sunday school lesson, being a light unto the world. Because he says in that second verse that ye may prove what is that good. Now, I'm not going through the rest of that, but to prove that good is God. That good is salvation in itself in those things. This is that which is good. Our lesson today was titled, Putting Your Light Up on the Candlestick. And when Josh was in the car this morning, he pulled out his Sunday school lesson. And I said, "What's the title of it?" And he said, "Putting Your Light on the Candlestick." And I just said, your light is your salvation, first of all, but the life that you live. But then I went a little farther and I said, if you really look at what the candlestick is in the Bible, it's the church itself. It is proper for God's people, and it's a commandment of the Lord to follow him in baptism and to join his church, is what it's about. in this day. So we're talking about some of these things, but as far as the church is concerned, but we are to prove that that is good is what we're supposed to do. Now it says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that he that is among you not to think of himself more highly than ye ought to think, but to think soberly, seriously, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, I want to talk just a little bit here in this today about the measure of faith. First of all, going back through this verse that we're talking about today, saying that it is by the grace of God that he done that, but that we are not to think higher than we ought. And what that means is we ought to have a humble spirit as God's people are. We are to never think of ourselves higher than other individuals, that we're higher than maybe somebody outside of the church building. Sometimes we have problems in churches, and as far as I know, it's not that much in this church, but there's times when people start to think higher than themselves than thinking about others that may not be as much. And that's basically what's going to be a lot of this message today, is not the humbleness part, but to remember that we are all needed in the work of God. For what he says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." In other words, we are one body in Christ. Now, I do want to make a quick distinction here today in this service. The scripture tells us that the body is the church itself. It is the church. If you're saved today, you're part of the family of Christ, is what you are. If you go over to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body," is what he says in that 13th verse. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're not baptized, you're not going to heaven. It does not mean that if you're not baptized, or you're not a member of the church, that you're not going to heaven. I had some aunts, they would listen to a preacher preaching. If he talk about church membership and people being a part of the bride of Christ, and they'd say, "Well, I guess I'm not going to heaven." They were of a different faith. They had salvation, and that wasn't what he was talking about. He was talking about being a member of the Lord's church, being baptized into that body. So when that he says, "For as we have many members in one body," we here at Murfreesboro, we're one body as a church, being baptized into this body, being part of the membership of this body. It is a wonderful thing, and I want you to consider that today. If you're not a member of the Lord's church and you've never been baptized into the body of the church, you need to join the Lord's church, is what you need to do. For you're needed in the body of this church, is what you're needed. You might say, "Well, I'm nothing as far as a member. I don't have anything to offer as a person coming into this church." I want you to go with me back to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians just for a minute. And down a little bit lower than the 12th verse, going down to verse 18. He said, "But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body." Remember, the body is the church, and he has placed you in this church. And I want to add this to it. "For a reason today," he said, "as it hath pleased him." God hath planted you or placed you in this body for a reason today. He has placed you here to do a work in this church. Now, there was a problem at Corinth. First of all, I think it was a lot of pride in the church. They had in their minds that some were higher than others. They were thinking that other members, didn't say who they were not even needed. Now, why I say that, Paul says in verse 19, "And if they were all one member, where were the body?" In other words, if you were just all the same members, if you all had the same duties in the church, where would the church be today? What he goes on to say in verse 20, "But now are they many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." He makes a comparison here in this chapter to this physical body. And what he is saying to you today, if you are an eye and you say to the ear, I have no need of you. Maybe you're sitting there as a person that has been coming to this church and you feel the impression of the Lord leading you to join this church. But you may have in your mind that I can't offer anything to that body. I want you to think of yourself as maybe an eye. I want you to think of yourself as an eye. Well, I hadn't thought about using this. This past week, we inherited my son's dog. My son's dog all of a sudden had a problem with his teeth. Well, you know what a toothache is. That's something that doesn't feel good. Well, we finally decided to get it fixed. I talked to Brother Tim about it the other day, but and Sister Sarah about it. But the thing about it was we done had it done. All of a sudden, this past week, that dog started stumbling around. He would fall off the edge of the porch. He'd walk into things. For some reason or another, he lost his sight. I don't know why they think maybe blood pressure is what the veterinarian there said. But the idea is, what would you be like if you lost your eyesight today? If you all of a sudden just, you was able to see and then suddenly you had no eyesight. When I was pastor at Caney Fort Missionary Baptist Church, they had a member there by the name of Brother Ralph. He worked at the local co-op. He was a small man, but he was a strong man. He was able to go about and do many things in his life like each and every one of us does. Then suddenly his diabetes caught up with him and he lost his vision. I mean, he went completely blind. And what he would do, he'd still come to church, but he would sit in the front seat right over here. And when it got time for people to shake hands, he'd just hold his hand out and wait for somebody else. To me, that was always somewhat pitiful. But the idea was he was in church. He was there to glorify God. And what he did was, and from time to time, he testified to the goodness of God in saving his soul. And then from time to time, he would talk about his blessings. Now, you might say, well, I don't know that I would be able to do that. Well, you think today, if in this church you lost your eyes as far as seeing spiritual things, if you were the eye, would you say to the ear, I don't have any need of you? I want you to know today what God is saying to you. God has a need for you in this body today. He has a need that you should be a part of the body of Christ. He has a need. You may not be an actual eye. You may not be an actual ear. You might be a pinky finger. You might be a thumb. You might be a little toe. And you might say, well, that's nothing in the church. That's nothing in the body. You mash your little toe or stump it right good, and you see how much that little toe is needed. I've had friends years ago that had lost maybe one of their toes. And they didn't have the balance that was needed for them to walk or run like they should. Just one little toe? My friends, today, God needs every one of His saved individuals in the body of Christ, and He wants you to be a part of that body. I want you to go with me, if you will, today to 1 Peter, and the 4th chapter is where I'm going. If you'll look at verse 10, and he says, as every man hath received the gift. Now you might say, well, what is the gift today? You might say, well, the gift is your salvation. Yes, that's one of the greatest. That is the greatest gift that you'll ever receive, is your salvation. But I want you to understand something. There's more gifts than just being saved. There is the gift of being able to speak, you know, using your mouth. Well, maybe sometimes we want to keep our mouths shut. Our lesson today was about letting our light shine. Now, most of the time what Brother Stewart asked was, why do we not let our light shine, I think was his question. And the different ideas was pride. Maybe we had something else to do. Maybe there's other things. That was things that came to my mind. But the idea is, you have an ability that God has given you. You may not be the best speaker in the world. I'm going to tell you something. When I was called to preach, I was not a speaker. In high school, I'm going to tell you how bad I was. In high school, you know, you had to do book reports. Y'all remember them? And my English teachers loved to have you to get up and give your report in front of the class. Ooh, I hated that. I didn't want to do that. As somebody said in our Sunday school class this morning, you know, those times when your knees knock together. Yeah. I know what that is. I was so scared of doing that. In my ag class, my teacher required each student to read a scripture once a day. One of us had to get up. We rotated around the room, and when it would come my day, he'd say, do a devotional and say a prayer. We can't do that in our schools now, can we? Unfortunately, we can't. But he had us to do that, and oh, I hated that thought of just standing up and reading a couple of verses and then trying to lead in prayer. I remember the very first time that I was called on to pray in church. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Thankfully, he called on somebody else at the same time, and I thought, well, maybe Jack can cover me up, because I was afraid of those things. Now, what I'm trying to get at is, you may think that you're not able to do these things today, but God has given you a gift. There's some of you that has a great gift to sing and you're not using it. Some of you have a great gift to pray and you're not using it. Some of you have a great gift to play the piano. You're not using it. Maybe you have a great gift to testify, but you're not using it. God has given you a gift today that you are not using for his cause because you're not a part of the body of Christ. You don't think that you're worthy to be in that group. You don't think that you can add anything to that. But what he said here in this 10th verse, going on farther, for every man hath received the gift, even so the minister, the same one to another. That minister is not the preacher. It's every one of us doing the work of God together, serving one another, waiting upon one another, waiting upon the lost, helping them to find God. It's what it's all about in that way. He said, he said, as good stewards of a manifold grace of God. Do you realize today what a good steward is? A steward is one that takes care of a property. In Bible times, it was usually considered to be somebody who had wealth, and he allowed somebody to take care of part of his wealth. You'll find that in the parables that Jesus told about the men. You remember this one? He gave, there was a parable where that the master gave a man five pennies, I think it was. I'm probably wrong on that. Another one he gave two, and another one he gave one. Now, what each one of them did, the one that had five, he went and traded, and he got five more. And the one that got two, he got two more. They were considered to be good stewards in the work. They doubled what they did. But the one that got the one, y'all remember the story? What did he do? He went and hid that which the Lord gave him. You have a gift today, and you're supposed to be a part of the body. And my friends, today, if you're hiding that gift today, when the Lord came, what excuse are you going to use? The Lord said unto him, where is that which I give unto you? He said, it's in the ground where I hid it. Now, he was not happy with that man. The master was not happy with that man. Now, what I'm getting around to here today, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You see, God has given you a gift. God has given you something that you can do for the cause of God. You may think, well, I can come to church and I can sit in church, and that is all that I need to do today, and that'll be fine. Well, it may be. But what I want you to understand is letting your light shine in such a way as God can get the honor and glory out of it is the best thing that we can do. And you may say, I cannot speak. I don't have the right words. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And you may say, well, what is oracles? Most of the time, we kind of get in our minds, or I did anyway, oracles was like the angels speaking out when Jesus was born. You know, they came to the shepherds and they praised the Lord. That's kind of the way I imagine that the oracles are. But when you really look at what the oracles are, they are speaking by the Spirit of God as though that God is speaking. I'm not talking about preachers here now. How many of you know somebody that could speak? Boy, it sounded like it was straight from God. Oh, I do. I can remember men and women who stood up in church and they testified to God's goodness. I can remember men and women, I especially remember one old man that would visit our revival every year, and sometimes they would ask him to sing one particular song, and sometimes he would sing out himself, But he would take one of those song books and he'd have it rolled up so tight where the Spirit was a hold of him. And when he sung, it blessed everybody in the house because it came straight from God. Or are we hiding what God has given us in the ground? Let us speak. Let us sing. Let us use that gift as if it was the oracles of God, is what Peter is saying. Let it shine out to the world, is what it's all about. Listen to what he said. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, remember, this is not talking about preaching. It's talking about helping, talking about serving, talking about waiting upon the church, waiting upon those that are lost. He said, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Oh, you may not be able to say the right words at the right time. Lord, I feel like my words are terrible. I do sometimes. I remember Brother Walter Dewey's. He said, I remember when my daughter came down to the altar. He said, I've been preaching several years. And he said, all the times I had advised people as to what they needed to do to find the Lord, he said, I thought they was pretty good. But when that I was talking to my own daughter, he said they didn't feel like anything. You know something? That's the way I feel all the time. But if we speak when God says speak, he's got a reason. If God says sing, he's got a reason. Some people may not agree with this one. I was at a church service one time, and the man got up, and y'all pardon me for mocking this man, but I want to give you the example. He got up to testify, and he said, I've got the thing of thong for you. That's pretty close to the way he said it. How many of you understood that? You know what my thought was? What he said is, I've got to sing a song for you. I got that part out of what he said. I thought, Lord, have mercy, you can't sing. You can't even talk. But he started singing. And it wasn't the plainest in the world, but it was as the oracles of God. I had to say, Lord, forgive me for judging in that way. But he spoke as the oracles of God in that way. He says, going back to what Peter says, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and forever. When that we as God's people today stand and serve him today, let it be done to the honor and praise of God. You may not stand in church. You may hand somebody a card inviting them to church. We've got those cards out there that you can do that. It has our church times on there. You may hand one of them out. You may say something to your friend. Why don't you come to our church? You might enjoy that if you'd come. You might say to somebody, I've been saved. Have you? You might say to somebody, I'm just trying to do as good as I possibly can. You know, God has a place for you today in this church. Brother Fabian, get us a song. Brother Sam had to leave. They got to meet about the funeral. I'm going to give an invitation for members today. I had not planned this, but God's got a reason. God's got a reason. And God is dealing with you today to join this church. You need to follow him. Now, The way we take members is by experience and baptism. Remember, you're baptized into the body. You're baptized into this body. And what John says, you give an experience. He said, give us meat, something we can give evidence to know that you're saved. You do that first of all. He said, you're going to come by experience and baptism. Church will act after they hear your testimony. They'll act appropriately on you. If you're a member of a church of like faith and order, just like we are, we'll take you by letter or credit letter. If you have your letter with you, we'll read it today and the church will act upon it. If you don't, we'll send for it. We also take members back by restoration. And reason that is back is somebody that has been excluded from this body for some reason or another. If they need to come back and make their apologies to the church, they can do that today. While we stand and sing, if you're here today and the Lord is, you remember how you felt when you got saved right before there? Lord was knocking on your heart so strong and he's doing it now and you're kind of wondering, well, am I really saved or not right now? And the Lord is saying, no, you need to join the church. You need to put your light on the candlestick. If that's what he's doing today, I'm going to be right down here in front. You come forward today and you present yourself to this church for membership while we stand and sing.